Well, the sounds of summer are upon us. The pock of leather on willow, the twang of racket strings, the thump of basketball on headboard. They are the joyous sounds of community sport too. But this year has not treated our local sporting clubs well. There are an estimated 70,000 community clubs. Has yours survived? Did you make it through? What did it take? What got you through this difficult period? Tell us your stories of a sporting life after lockdown on our Facebook page. Patrick Walker is the CEO of the Australian Sports Foundation, which is a national not-for-profit that supports community sporting clubs. Patrick, welcome to Life Matters.
G'day, Hilary. It's great to be with you this morning.
Great to have you here. And Dean Ryan's with us too. He's the president of the Bairnsdale District Amateur Basketball Association in East Gippsland in regional Victoria. Dean, thank you so much for joining us.
No worries. Thank you.
Now, Patrick, before we get into the difficulties of this particular year, how important are community sports to cities and towns around Australia? Are they just about providing a spot to play?
Oh, no, they're about so much more than that. Look, I often say that community sport isn't about what happens on the pitch or in the pool or on the track. It's about everything that goes around that. It's obviously about improving people's physical health. But at this moment in time, I think the particular value of community sport is on people's mental health, their sense of well-being. We've been so isolated this year. We've lost some of those normal avenues for socializing, and community sport plays a massive part. And whether that's Metro Australia or rural and regional Australia, it's a massive contributor to sort of social capital.
Has it remained as popular as it used to be, Patrick, or have you seen some changes over the last few decades?
We've seen some changes in terms, overall declining participation in what I call structured formal sport, like competitions and leagues and ladders and tables and so on, and a move away from that into more sort of informal and unstructured sport and activity. And that, you know, that's fine, like activity and getting together, whether it's for a jog or a run or a bike ride, that's all great stuff. What I think that this pandemic has done, though, it's kind of put a stop on community sport for a period of time. And what we're seeing is that's likely to have a longer term effect on people who maybe drift away from the sports that they were doing. And obviously that then has a knock-on effect on the things I've talked about, physical, mental health and sense of community.
And when it comes to sense of community, regional towns know exactly how that works. Dean Ryan, you're based in Bairnsdale in the far east of Victoria. Tell us how this year has changed things for your basketball club members.
Oh, it's changes. COVID has changed us dramatically. We started off with 332 members, 219 into 220, and by the end of COVID, and just, we have lost a massive amount of good people, including volunteers. It's hard to gain ground on something that we're lost and the community needs so badly. It's in our area alone, we've got the most domestic violences in our region, and we're number one, which is not a good thing. And without socialisation and going to club sport and kids being isolated at home, and it's just not a good thing in our area at the moment.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because some people might not associate those really basic things about safety with an outlet like community sport. Are you able to operate at the moment? Dean, you're an indoor sport, aren't you? So there's been a big challenge.
Yeah, because ours is it's a shire facility, so we couldn't operate until they gave us a go-ahead. They've only just opened up in the last month, so at the moment our competitions haven't started, but we're training on a weekly basis at the moment so the kids can get out there and socialise with their mates and for their welfare and their self-esteem and just, you know, a bit of an outlet so they can let some steam off from mum and dad at home, yeah.
And Dean, I understand there are particular groups of kids who really, in particular, missing their sport. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we have a large Indigenous group down our way, and they're the ones that are, I think, have the most struggles. And we help them out big time. So we take them to tournaments, we pick them up and drive them home, and they're great kids, and their parents are fantastic people, and it's. Once sports stopped, they had no outlet at all, and basically trying to open the lines of communication back up to get them to come back in, it's really hard work because with the amount of volunteers we lost, it falls on too few, and I can count the most of volunteers on one hand at the moment because we haven't got too many.
Well, we'll come back to you in a moment, Dean, so we can look at how things might go in the future. We're chatting today with Dean Ryan, President of the Bairnsdale District Amateur Basketball Association, and Patrick Walker, who's the CEO of the Australian Sports Foundation. And we'd love to hear how your particular community club has gone too. Local sporting clubs are a fixture of most places around Australia. How has yours gone this year? Tell us on our Facebook page. Patrick, when Dean talks about the difficulties people have faced in his club this year, does that tally with what you're hearing from different places around Australia, or were there particular challenges in particular areas?
No, look, it tallies almost exactly with what we're hearing. So back in sort of May, June time, we did a survey of community sports clubs. We got over 4,000 responses from clubs all over Australia, representing every sport. We had 100 different sport types respond, so not just the usual suspects. And we got, you know, a very bleak picture, not just the financial impact. So clubs lost, obviously, membership income. They lost any match day revenue because they couldn't participate in sport. A lot of local sponsors went to the wall or had to pull back because they were doing it tough during the pandemic themselves. So they had all of these financial impacts. But what I want to pick up on is some of the points that Dean mentioned there about the social contribution that community sports clubs make. So clubs were telling us they were reporting 70% of the clubs reported a reduction in members. That tallies with what Dean says. And over 40% reported a decline in volunteers. And we all know community sport doesn't take place without volunteers. And those are quite worrying signs for the future, quite apart from the financial impacts that clubs are facing.
Well, and as you said, Patrick, it was everything from the mainstay football netball clubs down to pickleball and carriage driving, you know, really quite small things. When we look at the scale, though, I mean, this survey in July said that there was a shortfall of over $1 billion. Is it that dire now when you look across the board?
It's really hard to tell. And the reason is that twofold. One is the survey was conducted while community sport was stopped. It was during the sort of the first lockdown period. So clubs were forecasting based on the circumstances they were experiencing then. What we're planning to do is to go out again with another survey in the new year so we can see how clubs have fared and how they've sort of pulled through. What we are seeing from conversations on the ground and dealing with thousands of clubs as we do on a daily basis, sports clubs are resilient. They're finding ways to pull through. You know, they're cutting their costs. Councils are coming to the party with, say, rent rebates and utility bill reductions and things. And sport is finding a way to survive. The concern we have is this is a long-term issue. This is not going to be over in January or February when the vaccine comes, fingers crossed. It's going to play out over a couple of years as this recession plays out and we get back to normal.
And Dean Ryan, I understand that in Bairnsdale you've been one of the lucky ones that's got a bit of help from the council with the rent. How long can that go on for, do you think?
Oh, we put in a submission to the council asking for another 12 months of rent-free just so we can get back on our feet financially. And we have put in for grants. They did write us a lovely letter back, hoping we best wishes and get well. But, nothing to fruition at the moment. So it's we applied for a few grants, just waiting for a few answers at the moment.
So Dean, what are you hoping for in terms of recouping that money and rebuilding?
There's a lot of vouchers going out I think early next year, so they go out per family. So I'm asking our members on social media to apply for them to help them out if they are struggling financially. We're trying to reduce it the best we can. So being that it's a lot of job losses in this area and it's hard to ask parents to fork out for their kids to play if they don't have the money. And we're trying to make them chase these vouchers if they can and try and help them out if we can in other ways.
That's a lot of paperwork and phone calls and chasing things up, isn't it, Dean?
It certainly is at the moment, yeah. It's a lot of behind-the-scenes work with a limited amount of people and doing the best of their ability, sometimes overstressed.
Yes, indeed, yeah. With all the other things that are going on in your life and your own families as well. Patrick Walker, what will help keep these clubs going? I mean, is it just about a massive injection of money or are there other things that the Australian Sports Foundation's been working on for that long-term growth and rebuilding?
The main way that we can help is funding. I mean, our role is to raise money for sport, and we know that funding is an enabler to a whole host of things, as Dean talked about. The vouchers aren't going to cover all the people who can't afford regos anymore. So we want to raise funds to offer free or subsidized rego to clubs. We've just run a grant program which is offering grants to fund kit, uniforms, and equipment for junior teams for the under 20s, because we feel although there's losses of participation across the board, it's vital to keep the young generation engaged, because that's obviously the future of community sport. And young people gain so much from participating in community sport, life skills, leadership, discipline, teamwork, and these are things that stand them in good stead in their career, not just in the sport they play.
It was interesting, Patrick, to hear Ben Pettinger on the news from Sport for All, which promotes inclusion and inclusivity in sport, saying sports clubs should do more to make sure that clubs are truly inclusive. He said they're doing okay at the moment, they're doing their best, but we need to do more. Do you think it's a matter of goodwill, or do you need some kind of support for that, perhaps extra training and funding?
I think you need extra training and funding, and I think he's absolutely on the money. I'd highlight another concern which we're hearing, because there's been such a financial challenge at all levels of sport, national right through down to community. What we're seeing is, with the funding being more limited, it is actually the people at the margins who are getting more exclusion, and sports are sort of focusing on their core and their mainstream, and it might be some of those marginalized, low socioeconomic groups with a disability who actually lose out. So we're very concerned about that as well.
Dean Ryan, if you could look into the next 2, 3, 5 years and say, this is how I want our amateur basketball association to look like, what would you say?
Oh, good question.
Blue sky thinking, absolute ideal world.
In an ideal world, I'd like all our kids to get back on the court. They're the next generation out of playing. We are an exclusive club. We have the disabled school come and play in our comp, and they're a fantastic group of kids. We have many people with disabilities that do play, and we're open to everyone, and we love to see them on the court. In an ideal world, I'd just like to see us financially sound in the next 3 to 5, try and hit our goals of increasing numbers, try more girls with participation, because that's where we're sorely lacking at the moment, between the 12 and 16 age group. That's where we're lacking young females in sport too, which we're trying to aim for to get them back involved.
Yep, whole of community approach. Dean Ryan, thanks so much for joining us on Life Matters today, and all the best for the coming years.
No worries. Thank you for your time.
It's a pleasure. Dean's the president of the Bairnsdale District Amateur Basketball Association, and Patrick Walker, CEO of the Australian Sports Foundation. Thank you so much today too.
Thanks, Hilary. Thanks for your interest, and great to speak with you.
It's a pleasure. And as Patrick mentioned, the Australian Sports Foundation is a not-for-profit, and you can donate to them, and then it's a tax deduction, and then they go off and assist sports clubs with grants. So it's kind of win-win, isn't it?